Welcome to the Business Trend Center podcast, where we talk about trends and how to use them to grow your business. My name is Manny Turan.
And I'm Adam Hartung.
We are Spark Partners. We help companies to grow. Go to our website, spend some time in our podcast archives. We've got some ebooks. We've got some good content out there. Go to our social media pages. We're really making a lot of waves in what we're doing with looking at trends and talking to all levels of entrepreneurs, whether it's a somebody with an idea all the way up to people that run $100 million companies. So, Adam, I wanted to talk about a couple things today and frame this up with, you know, growing up, I was born in 73, and I grew up in an era of the TV was kind of the centerpiece of a lot of activity. Even though my mom, you know, we'd have dinner without the TV, and then we'd all do the chores, and then we'd all go to the TV, and we'd spend some time watching these shows. Of course, I was the remote control. You know, I'd have to go there, and I'd have to change the dial with my hand. But nonetheless, I remember growing up with the news. I would watch the news. My mom in particular would watch the news. I always have the news on, and I remember that. I can't remember a time without CNN. This is that was there for all kinds of these big events that happened in my life, whether it was the Gulf War, whether it was you know, all these activities. When the shuttles, of course, exploded, I was in seventh grade. But when I went home, it was all over the news. So I want to talk about something that happened recently with CNN. I want to get your thoughts on it. Obviously, CNN was started in 1980 and really became the first 24-hour news station, and in many respects was a vanguard, was a pioneer of that modality of news reporting. Now, obviously, lots changed since 1980, but they're still a relatively respected organization. So, Adam, what's happening in the news, pun intended, with respect to CNN?
Well, thanks a lot, Manny. And, you know, I think it's interesting what's happened in terms of media in the era that you're talking. Of course, I was a little bit older than you, and I was in the era when all there was broadcast television. There was no such thing as cable. And then you're just enough younger than me that you grew up with cable. And a lot of people were concerned about cable television when it came along. They said that, well, you know, when they start running that cable and you get the programming on cable, broadcast will go away. There will be no broadcast television. So ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS would go away. And it didn't work out that way. You know, what happened was News Corp launched Fox Channel as a broadcast channel, and it succeeded. And then things came out on the cable. And as you said, CNN from Ted Turner was a very early channel. And then you had ESPN, which came out of Rhode Island, doing 24-hour day sports. And in those days, it was interesting how what they had to do to try to get things to cover 24 hours a day. So you would get, so the local news channels around the country would send clips to CNN, and they would be monitoring the broadcast channels, and, you know, they'd show a fire in Cleveland, or they'd show, you know, the wheat crop coming in Kansas. And it was an awful lot of interesting bits. And the net of it was that it didn't kill broadcast television, right? Cable did not kill broadcast television. And so we got used to watching it, and CNN was pretty good. Now, they've evolved, and things have changed dramatically. Now we have Fox Television, but we also have Fox News. And Fox News is a broadcast channel as well in many places, but it's definitely a cable channel. And it's very highly political, right? And what we've seen is definitely, I think, a movement in terms of CNN. That it has more politics than it used to. It used to, like I said, just be straight up news, or shooting in this town, or, you know, some kind of a news item like you might see in a newspaper of old. Now there's an awful lot of discussion about politics, and the same is true with, they launched MSNBC as a cable channel, and it's the same way. There's some news there for sure, but there's an awful lot of discussion about politics. And so now we're going through this newest phase, which people are thinking might actually put broadcast TV away, and that's the whole streaming world now. You can go to your computer, you can go to your phone, you can go to any kind of a device. Televisions today come with it, right? Where you can hook onto the internet. You've got an app there, and you have Hulu, HBO Max, Xfinity's app or whatever, right? And you can download and you can watch material, Netflix, for example. And so we know there's going to be a transition. We know there's going to be some change. And we know that just like cable changed what was happening with broadcast, this is changing cable, it's changing broadcast, and it's also changing streaming. because Netflix was, for a while, the only game in town. They're no longer the only game in town. They have a lot of competition. So what I enjoyed was that CNN spent $300 million, for sure, of hard money. And that number could be as high as $500 million. But in that range, $300 to $500 million, to create a channel that was called CNN Plus. And you would pay, they were running it on the television. They say you buy CNN Plus, you pay a monthly subscription fee, and then you would get this channel that would be 24-hour news. And they were going to have some takeoffs on existing shows like Fareed Zakaria's Global Public Square. And then they were bringing in new people. Like Chris Wallace quit at Fox News, and Chris Wallace was going to have a show that was going to be on here. They picked up a woman whose name escapes me right now out of NPR, and she was going to have a program. So they were going forward with this idea of having, we're going to compete in this new streaming world. And then what happened was a few months ago, Discover, which is now an amalgam of a whole bunch of cable channels, right? It used to be the Discovery Channel, but now it's, Travel Channel, and it's cooking shows,
right,
and just an amalgam of a whole lot of stuff. They made an announcement that they wanted to buy Time Warner from AT&T. And then if they bought Time Warner, they would get CNN because it was part of Time Warner. And so they negotiated, they put a deal together, it got approved by the FCC, and the transaction was coming down the pike. So as this was happening, the CNN Plus is getting created, the deal gets done, and then the leadership for Discover, they make the announcement, we're closing CNN Plus. So here they'd spent $300 to $500 million, they'd hired people, they have a staff of something like 500 people. Again, it's somewhere between 200 and 500. The numbers bounce around, and I think it's because some of the people weren't dedicated to CNN Plus, and some are. And so, but you have all these people that were working on this future programming, and they said in one swoop, the leadership, the president of the company, Discover says, "Yeah, we're shutting this down." And it was hugely embarrassing because here you put the money in and you've been advertising. And if you watch CNN over the last couple of months, they had, Fareed Zakaria and other people saying, sign up, buy your subscription, get going, go down this road. And then just to have the new owners walk in and say, nope, that's it, we're closing it down, really upsets the apple cart. Now, I find everything about this wrong. I mean, okay, startlingly wrong, and that's why I wanted. I'm glad you brought it up so we could talk about it today. And let me start off at the beginning of this. The first thing was, I think they did a pretty decent job of creating some white space. We really don't know what the future is going to be. We really don't. We've got an idea. Streaming is here. Streaming's happening. That's what's going on. But we see competition in terms of what's happening with Peacock from NBC, and then I mentioned Disney Plus. And everybody's looking at it saying, well, how many channels are there going to be? Am I going to have four subscriptions, one subscription, or 24 subscriptions? What's that going to turn out to be like? And we don't really know yet because we don't know what the content is and we don't know how people want to get the information, right? And we don't know how sensitive they are on pricing versus content. All those are very specific questions into how the streaming is going to play out. So I was impressed that CNN put $300 million into participating in it. To me, it's a pretty decent example of white space, only with a lot more money than most of us can ever put into a white space project. But they said, we're going to go out there and experiment. We're going to see what can happen. Let's try to figure out whether we could have, could we have a channel? And I appreciate that. I laud that. Now, I think they made a couple of mistakes, but they at least went forward. The fact that the new owners come in and shut it down just hits me as the dumbest thing you could do. Now, it has been portrayed over the last week that the people at Discover have a different strategy, that they have a strategy where they're going to try to combine all these different channels and put it into one subscription model and go forward. And the idea that CNN was going to be a standalone subscription didn't fit their strategy. And it just strikes me that this is the old-fashioned use of the word strategy, the worst kind of use of the word strategy.
Right.
It's where you sit there and say, I think I've got an idea of the future, and therefore that's my strategy. What we know is the strategy has to be this living, breathing thing that takes in trends and looks what's going on in the world and figures out what works and doesn't work. And we don't know exactly what's going to work, what the monetization engines are going to be going forward. So you've inherited now, when you buy this, you've inherited this white space environment, this experimental station, right, where you can do testing, you can figure things out. Somebody's put somewhere between $500 million, $250 million into it, and you inherit it. And it's, you don't have any money in it, right? You haven't sunk anything into it. But they say, you know what? We've promised the analysts that we're going to cut $2 billion out of cost during losing synergies. And so one of the things we're going to do is we're going to shut down CNN Plus because it doesn't fit. And it's just like, wow, that is so incredibly stupid. Now, I think the last stuff I heard was that they didn't think the financial model worked. You know, that it would lose money. It would lose too much money. It would take too long to get profitable. And I go back and I look at that and I say, wait a minute. Again, we don't know about strategy. This thing's getting launched. They went out there and said, hey, you can sign up for $2.50 a month. And if you do it within a certain time limit, we guarantee you that you'll never have the subscription rate go up for the rest of your life. That's not really the way I would ever recommend somebody do a white space project. If you remember when the iPhone was launched, it was the most expensive iPhone you could buy. What we typically see is that really good, successful white space projects find the people that really want it, really want the product. And they're not price-sensitive people. They come out at high prices. So I would have said, here's CNN Plus. It's the best thing ever in the news world. There's nothing like it. You can't compare us to Fox News or anything else. And it's going to cost you $29.95 a month. Now, that would have defined a small marketplace, right? It would have been a small marketplace. But what we don't know is, would that pull in some real people really dedicated to news, who love the news? And then could you monetize around those people? And could those people, then you could say, hey, you've paid $29.95 a month just to get news. We'll tack on some Discovery channels for an extra $5 a month or an extra $7 a month. So see, you could have figured out a way to increase the price per user, the revenue per user going on with these other projects. Now, that's not a strategy. That's a set of tactics to try to develop streaming. And what I would say is nobody's tested that yet. Yeah. Why would you shut down the project until you test it? You know, you could go out and test it at 250. You could say, well, I'm getting a certain number of users. My bet would be that the early sign-ons for this are people who would pay $30 a month, because the early sign-ons are people who really care a lot about news. But I would test those price points. I would test how many people that is. You know, if you're streaming this and you discover that 50% or more of the people buying your subscription are businesses, and they're turning this on in their business, and it sits there in the lobby all day long, well, that tells you something about that kind of user, right? And what other kinds of adjacent revenues you could tie into that user, and whether or not you could maybe come up with an ad program that would connect to those people in some way, right? So there was an awful lot of learning to be done here. And they said, no, we don't need to learn.
That's remarkable, Adam. And it reminds me of one of the biggest epic failures in probably business history, in my opinion. I mean, the Lehman Brothers, there's really giant ones, but from a product guy, what I'm about to say here, this singular product was such a failure. It was such an embarrassment that thank God no one remembers it. And it was a product that was developed by Microsoft called the KIN, K-I-N.
Oh, yeah.
The KIN was developed at the price tag of $1 billion. Microsoft put $1 billion to develop this, basically a PDA. It was like a hybrid sort of a BlackBerry with a little screen on it. And it was back in about 2010, they did this. And the crazy story is that after they released, they were in the stores for 2 months and they pulled the plug.
Yeah.
2 months. At the same time, or around the same time, of course, Apple came out. They spent $200 million on the development of the Apple One, and it was obviously an epic success. And that kind of makes me think about, you know, you've got to have, you know, risk is part of life, and risk in business is also part of life's business. But what you just said about what happened with Discover and the CNN Plus, it just doesn't make any sense. They already had this thing. They hadn't tested it long enough. They hadn't really reached the right audience. Like you said, they went in maybe not wanting enough for it from a monthly subscription standpoint. Just doesn't make sense.
But it had only been on the market for 3 or 4 weeks, and so there was plenty of opportunity to change price. You could, you know, say, okay, all you people, the early buyers, we locked you in at $250, but we're switching around what we're doing now. Price is going up to $29.95, and then a big marketing effort could go in a different direction. It wouldn't have hurt you to do that. Again, it's about that experimenting. That's why we always talk about white space and how important white space is to figure out the future. Now, let me tell you the part about this that I why I predict this is going to be extraordinarily bad. I mean, extraordinarily bad. And that's because you have just put a damper on all innovation throughout Discover. What has happened now is if you work anywhere in the Discovery system, whether you're over there making, you know, reality TV shows about how to build a barn or how to cook a pizza, or if you're in CNN, what you've been told is the two or three people at the top of the company think they know everything. They've got the answers for it all. They don't want innovation. This is like Michael Dell sitting back in the days of PCs saying, I don't need to make monitors. I don't need to go off and do these other products. There's so many PCs going out the door, and I've got all the answers to it, right? And so you've just thrown ice water all over anybody who would have any thoughts about innovation. And in fact, Brian Stelter is a guy on CNN who does a Sunday morning talk show about the media. I mean, this guy was so muzzled in his discussion of CNN Plus, it was embarrassing to watch. He clearly is fearful for his job. He is clearly fearful that CNN could just yank his programming away from him. And that's what's going to happen. People now would say, well, look, they put $300 million in an experiment over here. The experiment barely got started, and the guys at the top killed it. So the guys at the top are saying, we don't want innovation. We don't want people who think innovatively. Don't bring us those ideas. Go make those shows. And by the way, you better get subscribers, or you better get viewers. Season one, we want profits now. We don't invest. We want to make things and make money, and we want to make it now. We don't have time for innovation. And they're saying, we don't have time to go out and try to build new revenues. So let's say that CNN Plus was expensive, and perhaps it should have had its cost cut in half, because, I mean, if they really had 500 people or more working on this, that's a lot of people in white space. And I would say you probably did have a big project. Perhaps you should dial that back. Maybe you break it into three different white space teams that are testing different things. But, you know, at the same time, when you want to go forward with it, you should go ahead and give a commitment to these people so that they can have a chance to figure out what's going to be the future. When you start saying, no, we make the decision and we just stop these things, then now you've killed innovation in the organization. And right now, when we don't know the future of streaming, they need that level of innovation. They need people undertaking experiments, figuring out what works. And just stop to think about it. You wouldn't have an Amazon today if you didn't invest in revenues for future profits. Right? Amazon went out there and for 20 years said, we're investing in revenues. We don't have much profits. The profits will come down the road. It took 20 years. They did get to profitability. Now you got AWS. You got a lot of stuff going on. They wouldn't have Amazon Prime, which has been wildly successful. Initially, it was like, why are we giving away this shipping? Well, it drives more revenues and it will pay for itself as we go forward. And people forget that when Federal Express was founded by a guy named Smith, I believe his name was Fred Smith, when he founded the company, he said up front, it's going to take me 15 to 20 years to put these airplanes all in the air, flying into Memphis, Tennessee, and moving these packages around. We're going to lose money for 10, 15, 20 years building out Federal Express. And he did. He lost money, but it turned into a very big success. So now you have these leaders at the top of Discover who are thinking like very small-minded people. Very, very small-minded people. They have all the intellectual curiosity of 1980. They have all the strategic sense of 1980. They've learned nothing over the last 40 years about the importance of having your antenna out, being out in the marketplace, experimenting, doing new things. And so you've shut down the innovation at a time when you desperately need that innovation, and you're not giving people any incentive to go out and do anything new. I think it's just going to be wildly deadly for them. They're not really thinking about where their future revenues are going to come from. Heck, look at what Netflix had to do. When Netflix decided it needed to get into programming, it went to the shows over in Europe, and it paid the most money ever for getting programs like, you know, Orange is the New Black, and then there was one of the first ones was a show about a guy who was in Congress who wants to be president, and they paid enormous prices. They outbid the broadcast networks, they outbid Paramount, they outbid everybody to get those properties so that they could bring them in. They spent the money to get the revenues and to make sure they were bringing the revenues in the door. And what Discovery's saying is, no, we don't do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to invest in revenues. We're going to, you know, run it for the profits. That's not strategy. And they kept saying that on the analysts keep talking about, you know, the different models and those different strategies and how CNN's strategy conflicted with Discovery's strategy. And that's just not true. The reality is that we don't know what is going to be the value delivery system that's going to win. We do know we have to go into streaming. So everybody's ready to go into streaming. It's just that you have these guys now running Discovery who want to test alternative value delivery systems. They think they've got it all figured out. They don't have to go out and do any more testing. Then that's just foolish. The second thing is they're not revenue focused, they're profit focused. You cannot be profit focused during a period of transition. When a marketplace is undergoing change, when we're having new technologies, when we're having new user behaviors come along, you cannot be focused on profits. You have to be focused on what's driving the behavior, and you only measure that through the revenues. Are you getting the revenues? Because people are matching their behaviors to the value delivery system you have in place. We measure that through measuring revenues. And so what we see at Discover is, again, looking at the wrong metric, focused on the wrong things, focused on profitability, cost reduction, saving $2 billion. In a time of transition where you see Disney pouring enormous amounts of money into getting Disney Plus out in the marketplace. We see new competitors coming out, people throwing money at this into this rivalry right now, trying to see who's going to be able to put the value delivery system in place that's going to win long term. Who's going to be the Amazon of the game, right?
Yeah.
That's where they're going. And it's not going to be Discover because they're sitting there trying to count the profits.
No, it's ridiculous. You know, the way that a lot of the world thinks about strategy, they think of strategy as a train on a rail, that we're going to line this strategy and we're going to go down this rail. And they don't understand that strategy in the real sense is more like you're in a canoe on a river or in a lake. There's always going to be risk, but you're always going to be able to change direction. Their strategy, quote unquote, should have been a combined strategy of actually looking at what is the best combination of the two to create this new incarnation. One of my favorite stories about Fred Smith from CNN is that from FedEx, reportedly in the early days of FedEx, they had some rough times. They had $5,000 in the bank. They had a $24,000 fuel bill. They were about a week from just having no money, insolvency. And this is a bit of legend. I'm sure you can look it up, but it's told that Fred went to Vegas with the $5,000 and gambled it, made $27,000, was enough to keep the, pay the fuel bill. And they were able to continue on with FedEx. Now that's the risk. I don't know if I want to take that kind of risk, but nonetheless, it's an interesting story.
Well, again, what we keep telling people, know your value proposition and then go out and experiment with your value delivery system. And if you get one that works, great, hone it, improve it. You know, more, better, faster, cheaper is good on a value delivery system that works. But don't think you're going to live forever with that value delivery system. It will have to be modified. It will have to be updated. And it could become obsolete and have to be changed entirely. So here you have Discover that's done well on cable TV. We don't know if they're going to do well in streaming. We don't know how they're going to compete in streaming. And we certainly don't know how users are going to behave. One analyst was saying that we now know that the maximum amount of family will spend on subscriptions is $40 a month, and it's stuck there and it won't go up. Really? If you'd have told Apple that when it launched the iPhone, you'd have said, oh, look, nobody will spend more than $20 a month on a phone. So if you try to break above $20, you'll fail. And they convinced, my famous guy over at Microsoft, now I dropped his name, the president of Microsoft.
Dumber, Ballmer.
Ballmer, Steve Ballmer, famously said that the iPhone was $400 if you purchased it outright, and it didn't even have a keyboard, and how stupid that was. It was never going to be successful. They're all looking at what had happened in the past, and they all predicted the iPhone was going to fail, but in fact, it had new capabilities. It was developing the whole app world. It was developing the mobile marketplace as we know it today, and as such, those old pricing points that people were looking at weren't relevant to the discussion. So whenever some analyst goes on television this week and says, well, we now know that the maximum anyone will spend on streaming subscriptions is $40, that some journalist that doesn't know anything about business, certainly doesn't know anything about strategy, doesn't know anything about how innovation happens, and doesn't know how to test innovations in the marketplace in order to try to build a new value delivery system and enhance one that's more successful. So we got a lot of pundits out there saying a lot of stupid things right now, when the fact is that we don't know what's going to happen to broadcast TV, and we don't know what streaming in the future is going to look like. And I just can't, I just, Discovery's got it all wrong. They've just got it completely wrong. And if I worked in that company, I would recommend getting another job. I've had the good fortune of traveling around the world. Whenever I'm outside the United States, I watch the BBC most of the time because it's quite good. The United States version isn't so good, and I'm not quite sure why. But I watch BBC. But I'll tell you, the best news you get outside the United States is Al Jazeera. And when they had Al Jazeera in the United States back in the mid-10s, you know, from, I think they shut it down about 2013, 2014, for lack of money. It's by far the best news agency out there. But it, you know, it's run into distribution problems because of the source of where its home base is, and some anti-Muslim, anti-Islamic thoughts among people in certain populations. So they've not been able to get distribution globally the way they would like. But their product's quite good. Could they come back with a streaming service now? People aren't even looking at them. But I will tell you, if I'm traveling in North Africa, the Middle East, I'm in the Indian Ocean at the Maldives, Dubai, someplace like that, Al Jazeera is a fantastic product. It's a fantastic product. So we don't know what's going to happen with these things. Now, in the middle of this fray, I want to take a minute to diverge onto Netflix, because you know, Netflix got clobbered.
That's one of our little darlings, so I'm interested in hearing.
I did a podcast with you. You know, we talked about it, and I said, look, this is not – people are looking at this all wrong. Well, they came out with some new earnings and new results last week. Sales were good. Profits were good. But they said, oh, the total number of subscribers declined by 200,000, and the market just ripped them. You know, now the stock's gone from a high of 700 down to 200. So it's lost two-thirds of its value. I think it went down again, you know, last 4 days in a row. People are running away from it. And I'm hearing all these pundits again talk about a sea change in streaming, like they somehow know what the future is going to be. And they're saying, well, the people signed up for Netflix and they did it for 4 months, and now they're going to cancel it because they got all those shows. Because, you know, when they put out a show, they put it all out at once. And they're going to cancel it for 4 months and go watch Peacock and something else. And then maybe they'll come back in 6 months and sign up again because of the ceiling of $40 they're going to spend. This is just hogwash. Nobody knows. None of this is fact. These are just pinpoint elements, factoids we're bringing up. But they don't tell us what the future is. Right? And so what we have to do is start looking at how people behaving before and how are they behaving now. Now, I want to give you another example of factoids that could be misleading. Netflix pulled out of Russia in the last quarter.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had a choice or not. I mean, maybe they did, but I'm glad they pulled out personally. Well, that was between 800,000 and 1 million users that they shut off. So they just reported their net number went down by 200,000. So if they shut off 1 million users in Russia and they're down 200,000, what does that tell you, right? They would have been up 800,000 had they not shut off Russia. So, you know, again, are we looking at the right facts? The second thing is, we went over this with Meta, which has still been clobbered and hasn't come back yet. But while Meta was saying its daily active users were reaching saturation on the Facebook platform, people ignored the growth in Instagram and WhatsApp. They ignored the monetization in those two platforms, and they missed that over the last decade, the average revenue per user at Meta went from something like $4 to $40. It was a 10x improvement in average revenue per user. So we don't see anybody talking about that in terms of Netflix. So everybody's, once again, all buried down in the value delivery system. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to save this company? Like, save it. They're the Amazon of the industry, right? Netflix is bigger than everybody else.
they're massive.
Disappear now? To me, that's outrageous. Do I think they're having some difficulties with their model? A little bit, yes. We've got to tweak it. But they're saying, well, now we're going to have an ad-supported channel, and that's going to be the big difference in the future, whether you have ad-supported channels on streaming. Another one is, over at HBO Max, they're not releasing all 8 episodes of a series at once. They're making you come back week after week. That way you can't unsubscribe like you could from Netflix. These are tweaks of the value delivery system. They are not sea changes. They do not predict that the marketplace of the future is going to be wildly different. What they're telling us is that, hey, there's opportunities here. Netflix has long said we'll have no ads. Now they're saying maybe we'll experiment with ads. We'll see what happens. Do I think that's bad? Of course not. I think experimentation's good, right? I keep saying that.
Absolutely.
Second thing would be, are we going to maybe start to do some, instead of doing all episodes of a show at once, you know, when we put them out for the season 8 or whatever, that maybe they'll start doing a little bit of the stringing along, right? You know, break it up. We're going to do 4 now, we'll do 4 in a month, we'll do 4 in a month, we'll do 4 in a month, or something like that, right? Those are tweaks to the value delivery system. They do not imply a change in the value proposition. And what we know about Netflix is they really understand their value proposition. They really understand that they deliver entertainment. They use that to get us DVDs in the home. They use that to drive the leader in streaming. They use that to become the biggest content creator on the planet, the most successful content creator on the planet. They've had more nominations for awards. They've won more awards.
Yep.
They've had so many more users than anybody else. And so now what we know, we talked about this for 6 months. They've announced they're going into gaming. Gaming's going to increase the revenue per user because you'll have gamers sitting there besides the people that are actually playing, that are actually watching in a one-way mode, watching entertainment. There are people that are interacting with entertainment and that two-way mode, and it'll involve the entertainment, it'll involve the gaming. So they're going to get new revenues from that. So if we keep our eye on the value proposition, we can see that, yes, there's some tweaks happening in the value delivery system. Yes, they're going to try to make sure they shut off people that are handing out their password. They're going to do some things to try to capture a little bit more revenue out of the value delivery system they have. And I always say, more, better, faster, cheaper if your value delivery system is not a bad thing. You have to keep doing that.
But you have to keep your eye on the value ball, right? And that's the thing a lot of people miss. We talk about value delivery quite a lot in our podcast. We talk about it in very very deep domain centric in our course, Think Innovation. If you go back to our archives or our podcast, you'll see it all through that value delivery. There's a huge difference. And I recommend if you run a business or if you work in a business, take a good, hard, long look at what your value is. What are your customers gaining through the relationship? What's the promise that's being delivered? And then focus on that as opposed to how you're actually taking that to them. That's the value delivery. Of course, in the case of Netflix.
I want to make sure. I know we're running out of time here, but I do want to make sure to sort of tie up the end of this, which is that Hulu, Peacock, Disney Plus, Hulu, HBO Max, they are chasing Netflix, right? They are new competitors chasing Netflix. Netflix has got the value delivery system in streaming. They are now tweaking it to make adjustments to it to try to drive revenues. But what we don't hear any of those other people talk about is the next big thing. None of them are coming out saying that they're going to do something that's just going to propel users forward, going to propel subscribers. They're saying, oh, no, who's going to have the biggest libraries? Amazon, you know, when they bought MGM, who's going to have the biggest library? That's all competing at the level of the value delivery system where Netflix is the proven winner already. They're going to tweak it. But nobody, the only one talking about the next big thing is Netflix. They're talking about gaming. They're talking about moving into gaming. They're talking about expanding the entertainment experience from one way to two way. They're out there ahead on that. I just can't help but believe that this current beat up on the stock will pass. We don't have a sea change happening right now in the marketplace. We have some interesting things happening in the form of competition. But the sea change will happen when we get to the two-way interaction. So it's going to happen to where when you're watching a football game, you somehow can tie up with your friends and you can bet, or you can tie up with your friends and you can do fantasy football real time with it, or you can maybe even interact with the coach.
Yeah.
And you can have a bunch of you that vote on what the plays will be. That's the sea change stuff. It's out there. It hasn't happened yet. It's coming. Right now, we're just hearing about a bunch of tweaks to the value delivery system. Keep your eye on the value proposition. Keep your eye on where you want to end up. And then learn how to make a good value delivery system. I think CNN Plus was trying to do that. Discovery's not. They're trying to take control of it, like the three guys at the top are smarter than the rest of the world and all the users combined. And I think everybody's forgetting how far ahead in the game Netflix really is.
Absolutely. Very well said, Adam. It'll be exciting to see what happens in the next little, 6, 9, 12 months, 18 months as these things play out. Thanks for tuning in. Very good time with you as always, Adam. So have a good rest of the week and we'll talk to you soon.
I think if people buy our course, they could get as passionate about it as I do. They could get as convinced of the future as I do. It's just a matter of practicing, looking, accumulating trends, and developing confidence. And our course will get them there. So when I sound so confident in it, it's because I've been doing it for 20 years. Anybody else could do it too. I hope they could grab a hold of that course and start giving it a run.
SparkPartners.com. Check out the course, Think Innovation. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you.
Cheers.